everyone. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Tiffy and I give our all to this podcast with curating information, researching platforms, and creating a show with the best up-to-date information we can. We have a vested interest in the growth and health of your business and hope you feel the same way about us. Would you like to produce a show? All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest, and we will share with you what you'll receive with your investment. You'll have the opportunity to have your name and the name of your business mentioned multiple times during our show and have your company logo on our social media, along with details on how to get in touch with you, along with other marketing opportunities as well. Please support us so that we can continue supporting you.
I don't know why automatically I just want to cheese every time you say that.
Without further ado.
It sounds a little bit like a PBS commercial.
It does, right?
Yeah.
All right. So welcome to the business behind small business. Whether you're selling or staying, we are here to remind you that just because you own a business, that don't mean you're a business owner. We are your hosts, Savannah Stone and
Tiffany Kao.
And we're going to get down into the nitty gritty to walk you through the more finite details of entrepreneurship. I guess today we're not really doing that.
No. I'm sorry. No. I'm just throwing it out.
Same thing. No. Today, what we're going to do is our special holiday season.
Yay!
Season? Series? No. Episode? That's the
word. Okay. Episode. That's the word. We got it.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, so today's episode is going to be focused on the year thus far and what 2020 might be holding for our cute little podcast.
Cute little podcast is not so little anymore.
No, it's not.
We were in denial. We thought it was still a little infant. It's not.
It is not. And I'm so excited that we have listeners, I guess, all over the world.
Well, okay, mostly in the U.S., yes. But we got a couple stragglers out there. You know, yeah. I think the farthest from our point is a couple of downloads in New Zealand.
Wow.
Okay, that's cool. Coming back.
Yes.
But mostly in the U.S., which is it's still kind of cool, though.
No, I like it. I like it, and we have hundreds of thousands of downloads.
We do. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a few on repeat, so they keep coming back, which means there are subscribers.
Mm. It makes me very happy. Because when we first started this show,
It
was my idea.
It was definitely.
And it was all me by myself, and I was like, I really don't like talking to myself. And then lockdown happened.
Yes.
And then you and I talked, and I was like, hey, what do you think? Maybe we do this together.
I had just sold the company.
That was when you told me you sold your company.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
And I was like, well, I'm going to have more time now. Perfect timing. What am I going to do with all this creative energy now that I don't have a company to run? Thank goodness. Because who would have known the lockdown was going to go on that long?
Oh, my gosh. I know. And the more that we talked, the more we found we had to talk about. Both of us are very invested in businesses. And, you know, obviously, we both are in the service industry, I guess, and both of us work with small businesses. We're completely business to business, or we're business to business businesses. But what we also realized was how much we were invested in growth and support. And the more we discussed, the more we found subject matters that we thought were very important to growing businesses.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of it from commonly asked questions we get from our clientele, even though at that point, I think our client base was a little bit different, although now probably much, much more similar, but still it didn't matter. We still had the same type of questions. We still saw the same not to do's. when you get the insight into the inner workings of a company. And I think that's what it is for me. I think it's fascinating, the inner working of a company. It's like the back of like the restaurant, the kitchen side that nobody gets to see, but really is what holds up the heart, the engine of the entire enterprise. But we get a unique insight into that doing what we do, doing all of the account, accounting, HR, bookkeeping. Am I missing? Thank you, admin. And admins. Oh, but she did it a lot more than I did. I just dealt with just the accounting piece of it all. But we got to see the day to day. And when you get that unique perspective of seeing hundreds of companies and all of their kind of back office operations and inner workings, you see patterns and you get to, then that's what we started talking about. You know, this company did this, that company did that. And yeah, and here we go. Now we're like, well, why don't we just put it online since it's a lockdown? We have nobody else to talk to.
Totally.
Besides each other.
Totally. And then we went from, we used to be in our individual spaces when we were first doing it.
I was in my bedroom.
Yeah.
What were you?
I was here. I was in this space that we currently
That's
are
your
in.
Office, yeah.
My office.
Yeah. I didn't even have a separate office at that time when we went into lockdown because we had a physical office.
Did
that
I have
we
a
rented.
Separate office at the time?
Did you? Okay.
I might have just moved in because in 2020, my daughter was a freshman in college and all the college students had been told to go home. But she had a new place to live in June. She was going to be moving in June anyway. So she was only with me for 3 months. And at that point, I moved the rooms around and because I knew she wasn't going to be moving back in. Mm-hmm. And this became my office. And then I just started recording from here. Oh. And then we started recording out of your office. And
physical office.
Physical office.
That was like a while later, though. I think that was like a year later. Like a year later. I was one of those people who thought the lockdown was going to be only like 2 weeks. So I didn't bother to create a home office really until finally the denial went away.
Yeah.
And then a year later, you're right. So then after, you know, all the lockdowns finished and anyway, for 2021, was it 2021? No, it was 2022 before. So it was actually 2 years in before we moved. Like, okay. Yes. And then I went back and got a physical office because I am not staring at my wall in my place by myself the entire day. And then we moved there and then now we're here.
And now we're here. And so we've been evolving and, you know, the more it's kind of like, you know, like a regular business, your business evolves, you grow, you learn things and hopefully you get better and you perfect it. And that's where
we went into an area like we weren't really that familiar with either, right? Like we knew the subject, of course, and the content and stuff. But I mean, with the podcast, like as far as the technology, the editing, the sound, the equipment, like all this stuff, like if you were binging our podcast from season one, you will hear all of the mistakes along the way.
Oh, yeah.
That was us trying to figure out how to do this while doing our full-time thing, right?
Absolutely.
Like literally trying to do our full-time thing. I still remember the first edit of the first episode, like to edit everything. It took me the entire weekend, like literally like 16 hours because I was like, how do you use Audacity?
Oh, yes. Thankfully. We've come up.
It doesn't take that long.
We've definitely come along. And you know what? We do still do all of this ourselves.
Oh, my gosh.
We do all of it ourselves.
So if it feels a little homemade, it's because it is.
You know, which is why it would be great if you really love us for you to show us your love with your dollar bills, y'all. Because then we
what can, she said.
Yeah, then that way we can bring even better, you know, better content. If you want it to sound better, then
Well, part of it was also I felt like, you know, we didn't really have anything to give yet, right? Yeah. Because we were just starting up. And then plus, like, because we did this a little bit, not like, we didn't go into this going, oh my gosh, we're going to be the podcast that everybody listens to, right? We'll be just right on the tails of Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
No, totally. We did not. We were kind of like, nobody's going to listen to this.
Are you kidding?
Do this. Yeah, whatever. It'll be fun. I mean, it'll be something new to learn. Let's just, you know, have a creative outlet with all this crazy COVID shenanigans going on, right? And then here we are now with actual repeat listeners, with actual feedback from people. And we're like, oh, Okay. Yeah. So now when we say marketing opportunity, there actually is marketing opportunity. Yeah. We're not making that up.
No. Well, and you know, why shouldn't we have great listeners? And why shouldn't we have repeat listeners? Because we do spend a lot of time in providing the things that we think are very important for your business's growth.
Yeah.
I mean, we do spend a lot of time on this, and she's right. Like I, with my clients, every time something happens, I'm like, ooh, I got to write this down because this would be a great podcast, you know, and I do a lot
of research.
Yeah.
And we write
research.
We script. Write.
Yeah.
You see, somewhat script. We outline it differently, but we outline it, but it does require thought before every single episode and the planning of what we're going to do next, what makes sense, what's important. Mm-hmm. Like there's quite a bit of that, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. I think this year, our third season, we definitely branched out a lot more and we grew, I think, exponentially. And 2024 is going to provide you with...
I think we found our voice.
We did.
Thing. Well, you've already had your voice for a while.
Yep.
I was finding my voice. You'll know what I mean when you go up to earlier episodes of what I mean by how sometimes you literally can't hear my voice.
I have to speak so low, like I'm on NPR, because this is not
such
my real
a nice, like warm, deep voice she has.
I have to really hold back with my voice, so when you hear me, you're like, oh, really? It gets louder than that? It does.
My poor listeners aren't like turning on their volume, turning down their volume, depending on who's talking. No, we're not doing that. But next year is going to be exciting because we are going to grow again.
Yes, we are.
We're going to grow up.
Yes. So why don't you share?
I'll start with what it is for what's going on next year, right? So in the DMV area, so for our listeners who happens to be in the DMV area, which is the DC metro area, Washington, DC, so Northern Virginia, Maryland. Southern Maryland, and also just DC proper, I'm launching with a very good friend of mine, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to drop his name yet, so we'll see. We'll drop his name someday. You'll see him, actually, if you ever tune in to the video next year.
Yes.
But a good friend of mine and I got together, and after circling around this idea for like 2 years now, all these different elements, it's finally coming together. And the creation is essentially a business incubator in a DMV area, which will be focused on the growth and the support of what we like to call the everyday entrepreneurs. So if you look at incubators, most people associate that with like high growth tech type of like companies, which is great and very exciting. But at the same time, like, you know, I feel like the man or woman who wants to start like the food truck and the restaurants and their own consulting business, and they want to, you know, do some like coaching or, you know, those kind of businesses. Yeah, the everyday small businesses also needs a lot of support, not just in education, but also in funding, financial aid, and also just opportunities and mentorship and guidance. And so we essentially created a business incubator that will be in Tyson, will be based in Tyson's Corner for now, but really serving this greater area. And we're also going to have virtual events. And that's going to be launching in January. And so with that, our podcast.
Hey. Yes, the business behind small business
will be involved.
Will be involved.
Yeah.
And you will have an opportunity to, I mean, if you come to these events, you'll have the opportunity to be on our show.
Yes. Live interviews. Get ready for the camera.
Yep. Interviews. And I'm getting Antique Roadshow here, but it'll be just as exciting and thrilling as Andy.
Why not? I love that. I don't know why that show is so addicting too. But just imagine, it'll be something like that. It'll be very like homely and very wholesome, I guess, in a sense, but all business focused. So it's going to allow us to do a lot more live events, live uploads. Now, like I said, we also have virtual events too, because we understand for people who are not in media in this area and for people who live in this area, let's just admit it. Like if we're going to do anything at 5 o'clock, there is no way you're coming from Maryland and making it here and making it in Virginia in time, because that traffic is not going to happen. So we're going to do a mix of everything, but you know, for the stuff where we're doing just in person, then, you know, business behind small business will be there, and then you'll be able to kind of see that virtually or see pieces of it virtually.
So they'll be more like a show. Whereas, yeah, live show that will be on the podcast and live streaming. And then we'll also have more. We've had some guests, but yes. I think next year we'll feel more comfortable with having more guests.
Yes.
And we're also planning out what our shows are going to be about. And we're bringing you even more. What we are also doing is revisiting our season one episodes, because I think when we were doing season one, obviously we didn't have the great, you know, great mic. we didn't have a great setup. I mean, we're better now than we were, but I think that since then we have learned a lot more. And so we would be remiss if we did not revisit some of those shows.
We had a lot of great topics, that's for sure, right? Because it was our first year, and we really thought through a lot of the inner workings of a business, like behind-the-scenes business topics that we went through that were really, really good. And of course, like, you know, the idea is when you create the show, you don't want to repeat. So like for the season two and three, we never repeated, but those are great topics.
Yeah.
Then we were still trying to find our voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just a lot of perspective that I think we kind of didn't have a chance to give, because we were still feeling ourselves out of how we want to create the show and what the vibe will be and how the bantering is going to happen. And so now that we're in the same room, in the same space, we're going to bring a lot of those great topics back.
Yeah, we'll bring them back, and then we'll also have a different perspective on it. And you're right, just being in the same room changes everything.
Yes, it does.
So, and I don't think any of those were on YouTube, were they?
No, we didn't do video then.
No.
Well, that's because you would have looked straight into my bedroom, you know, because I just wasn't set up for it. And I was like, well, I'm not showing people the backside of, no. So, yes. So I think if you happen to be somebody who listened to season one, not that I'm saying you need to, but if you did, I think you'll see the growth over time with us. And just, at least for me, like learning how to speak better.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, you get enough practice explaining things that you just get better at it.
It's just
right?
public speaking. It's just being better at public speaking.
Yeah, but I feel like on a podcast is a little bit different than, like, I feel like standing up in front of the audience, I'm good. But then, like, with the podcast, I was like really nervous the first season.
Yeah, because you don't know how they're receiving you.
That's what it is. Like, you don't see the look in their eyes. Like, you can't feel the vibe in a room. Mm-hmm. And so you feel like you're just throwing out your voice to empty space. And who knows what people were thinking.
And it also sounds a little more mechanic, because it's not it's not as conversational.
That's true.
Because, you know, since then I still write a script. I write everything down because I have a horrible memory. And that's just what I do, is I write everything down. And at that time, I used to read it word for word. Mm-hmm. But then as I got more comfortable with the, you know, the intercommunication between us and with the camera, I started to just kind of pick around. And I'd be like, oh, okay, don't forget to talk about this. Don't forget to talk about that kind of thing.
Because it's a lot more natural, a lot more conversation flow, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, adding the element of having, like, a live show, I think it's going to just take that to another level. But I think we're ready for it now.
Absolutely.
We're ready for it now. Actually kind of excited about it, though. But it's all about, like, bringing the information to all of you, right? So that's why we keep saying, you know, don't hesitate to engage us on social media, on email. Let us know what you want to know, right? Because, I mean, we can guess all we want, but if you let us know exactly, we can just answer it for you.
And we're happy to take, if you have a suggestion, a show suggestion, we're happy to accept it and explore it.
And then we'll research the topic, and then we'll be able to, like, speak on it. And,
because in the end, I think the reason what drew the two of us to one another is, I think, our inner need to help people. Mm. At least that's what I think it was. Other thing is,
yes,
I think
there is that.
And the both of us have helped one another in our own individual businesses.
Yes, especially when you're a solo business owner on your own. You can drive yourself a little crazy by living in your own echo chamber. So
absolutely. Yes. And so we've both also been very good at, hey, what do you think of this idea? Or, hey, I need your advice on something. So we've been really good at that over the past 12 years.
12. Oh my gosh. Why did you have to put a number to that?
I'm so sorry. Since we were 10 years old. and then, you know, from there, our own businesses also individually
has grown and changed.
Yeah. And in your adventures that you've been on,
that's what I would call it, an adventure.
Yep, adventures. They've all had that component of help, yes. of assisting, of yes. supporting. Yes. And my company is supporting and helping and growing. Yeah. And then it's like the theme of who we are as people,
yeah.
who our businesses right. are, what we're attracted to, mm-hmm. what our podcast is about. So that's why we don't want to just speak into the ether. We yeah. also want to know what it is that we can do to help and support you,
yeah.
which is why we're involved with the nonprofit next year, which is why we will be more involved in mm-hmm. shows and live events.
Yeah.
It all comes back to helping, growing, supporting, because mm-hmm. if we help your business, if we help grow your business and we help support your business and we give you ideas and we give you advice that you're able to use and utilize and keep you in business, then what are you doing? You're part of the circle of the economic life
yes.
of your area.
Yes.
And, which is, I mean, the most important thing, I think, to civilization. But anyway,
well, I mean, to be quite honest, like this, even this incubator idea really started on the foundation of, you know, paying it forward. Mm. Because if anybody knows, and for all the listeners out there who have a business now and are still like running their business, especially if you're on your own, you don't do it by yourself.
Right.
You get help. You get help from friends.
It always takes a village.
Mentors, mm-hmm. informal mentors. You get help from other business owners and things like that. And when when you achieve success, which I would like to say we both have, mm-hmm. like the success that we are looking for and the success we set out to do when we're still going beyond that, you kind of reflect and you go, like, my gosh, how lucky was I to have all this like help. And I know that sometimes like business always seems like it's a war and competition mm-hmm. and very cutthroat. And by the way, that's only on TV, right? Like yeah. we don't live in a world succession and stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? Right. But real business that's done well is actually a win-win for everybody. Everybody walks away happy. You pay it forward. People don't. Yes, you'll run into people who's going to hoard information. But there's also an equal amount of successful veteran business owners who don't want to hoard information and are more than happy to share what their experience is so that you get a perspective to help your to deal with in your own business. Mm-hmm. So it's not that much of a selfish endeavor, to be quite honest. It's mm-hmm. very it should be very business done right. Should be very generous. And everybody wins.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. Completely agree, which is yeah. why we're here and which is why we're friends. And so closing out our yes. season three and going into season four, you have an idea of what we're looking for and what we're going to be doing. Yes. So as you know, you can always reach out to us. Also, this is where I'm going to, you know, in the commercial break. Now, let's take a commercial break. Hey.
Okay, so in these live events, eventually what we're going to do is we're actually going to cut over. It'll be a different like view. You'll be like, oh, there you are. Yeah. Okay, just so.
Should I come out of the screen and then like go out of the. Okay.
Cover the camera. Yeah, okay, fine, guys. We know we can do this by editing, but just excuse us because some of us, whatever.
Look, we like to keep it raw and real.
Yeah, so you get to see all of the...
All of it.
Savannah should exit and just come back. Show you how it's really done behind us.
You know, those listeners...
We try not to hide anything. I really need to watch this. Please don't turn us off right now. There's still more to come.
There's so much more. Wouldn't it be great to hear the sound of us promoting your business for you right here on our show? You can have that and more by producing a show or shows. I need my glasses now. Jeez, I keep thinking that I can do this without my glasses, but I really can't. I'm such an old lady. All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest, and we will share with you what you'll receive with your investment. You'll have the opportunity to have your name and the name of your business mentioned multiple times during our show and have your company logo on our social media along with details on how to get in touch with you, along with other marketing opportunities as well. So please support us so that we can continue supporting you. Actually, that's a good thing to remind me. See, this is why I don't have these things written down and I forget, which is why I'm forgetful, which is why I always have to write this stuff. Anyway,
what do I forget?
What social media. So I know I talk about this all the time, so forgive me. No, seriously now. We are going to be better with our social media because someone else is going to
part of the clown. Don't worry, somebody else will be editing in the future too, just not today, which is why we can't cut to commercial.
Absolutely. But you know what? Where we will be more. We will be on social media.
Plus, our live streams will be on social media too. Correct. Probably either Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn Live. Maybe I don't. We haven't figured it out yet. But it's going to be on social media. Yeah. So follow us while you can, so that you'll get notified.
It'll be somewhere. So even though we're not doing a quote unquote like normal show today, I still have some famous examples to share, and I have.
Is it historical?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah, kind of. So you know that we do. We're kind of fiscal year with our show. I feel like we usually start.
We are now.
Yeah. We're kind of fiscal year, and part of the reason why is because one of the things that we used to do is, we used to record a bunch of shows ahead of time because my busy season is December, January, February.
Yeah.
And now, we've become so busy in our own lives and in our own work that we haven't been able to really do that. So, and it has kind of pushed our season from what it was, which was March to...
Yeah, it was some odd...
Like March or April.
Like March or April to the following March or April.
Yeah, and now we're January to December. So, which is why season 4 will be starting, I guess, at some point in January.
Yeah.
And in any case... So now, if you're listening to us, we are in the thick and the throes of the holidays. And so in my research, I found a perfect article to share with you guys, and we're going to link it in the show notes. I did borrow heavily from this article. So my hat's off to Nicole D'Angelo and her article on how holiday marketing built the holidays, the story of our commercial Christmas. So, I know some of these things, and it's so fascinating how much marketing has to do with our current traditions.
Gosh, why am I not surprised?
I know, because until the mid 19th century, most Americans didn't celebrate Christmas at all. Really, New Year's was like the holiday, not Christmas. Christmas was like, we'll make a roast. Like a Sunday roast. It was a Sunday roast, and you just had your own personal family, and that was it. You had
Some cultures, New Year is still it for the whole, yeah, like the biggest holiday for the year.
That's true. Yes. The Puritans who settled New England outlawed Christmas. And in other parts of the country, Christmas was mostly an excuse for the upper class to throw rowdy feasts with hardly any holly or mistletoe in sight. So as America became more industrial and more urban, it caused a bit of nostalgia in the American people for simpler times, as well as an obsession with establishing traditional family traditions as a refuge from the industrial world. Because, you know, our world really did change in the U.S. Mm-hmm. from 1860 to 1940, maybe even to 1960. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably, we changed incredibly. And so Americans began adopting old world European Christmas traditions, such as the Christmas trees that were copied from the tradition of German immigrants, and Santa Claus that was originally brought over by the Dutch. Yeah. So one big driver of Christmas was a woman's home magazine that had a picture of Queen Victoria and her family and the king in front of a Christmas tree inside of the house.
Ah.
And Queen Victoria was like the it girl for a really long time.
Yes, she was.
She's the reason why we wear white wedding dresses. She's behind lots and lots of things. So she was behind us bringing Christmas trees inside of our home.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So this time period, now I'm moving on to ornaments. This is actually a really cool story. So during the age, this was also during the age of department stores. Department stores started to become a real thing, and they saw an opportunity in Christmas gift giving. So they began decorating their stores for Christmas and using creative marketing tactics to draw in shoppers. Much of the aesthetic that we now associate with Christmas was spread and, created by department stores.
Not surprised. Right? Macy's. I mean,
many time-honored practices were actually the inventions of entrepreneurs, such as the Christmas card. Christmas card was begun by a German printer named Louis Prang, who wanted to create a market for his newly invented color printing technology.
Christmas trees got their classic sphere-shaped ornaments when department store owner Woolworth, F.W. Woolworth, anybody else remember going to Woolworths?
Yeah, there you go.
Decided to mass produce them in Germany to sell them at a bargain. Holiday marketing impacts Christmas traditions and aesthetics, such as Christmas stories and characters. And the most famous Christmas character of all, Santa Claus.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. The Dutch tradition of Santa Claus was first popularized in America by the 1822 poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, that is now more popularly known as The Night Before Christmas. At that time, there wasn't really any broad consensus on him. They just kind of looked at him as a bigger, fatter elf. In 1841, a Philadelphia store created a life-size model to kind of bring in children into the store. It was a marketing tactic. This led to a trend in which you could see real live Santa, and it cemented Santa Claus as part of our holiday shopping habits.
And that's the reason why we see Santa in the mall and pictures
Macy's,
now.
Macy's became the first to have a Santa inside their store in 1862.
Wow.
I did not know it was that long ago. I thought that this was all in the 20th century, but apparently no. Santa's appearance and personality also was not what it is now. The most popular images of Santa were that he were a small elf-like figure. But the Santa that we all know were from the marketing efforts of Coca-Cola.
Oh. Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that. Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Okay, that's Coca-Cola. Interesting. That's interesting.
Coke featured Santa in its ads since 1920s, but 1931, things changed. There was an illustrator named Haddon Sundblom who created an image of a wholesome Santa to use in their ads. He went to a jolly figure described in The Night Before Christmas as his inspiration. He used whatever he had read in there and used it as his inspiration. They were already using live Santas, and you know, that's how Santa was born. Now, the most famous reindeer of all. Santa was not the only popular Christmas character. Rudolph wasn't just popularized by marketers. He was invented by them.
Rudolph's not real?
I know. It's like rip in my universe. Rudolph was created as a content marketing play by Montgomery Ward.
No idea who that is.
The department store Montgomery Ward?
Yeah, nope.
What? You never went to Montgomery Ward's? I always go.
Is this before my time in the country of the United States?
I don't know. Montgomery Ward's probably closed their last Ward store. No, they closed in the late early 2000s, their last store.
Maybe Montgomery must not be a Virginian store then, because I've been in Virginia my whole life. I've never heard of that before.
Maybe Montgomery Ward's more Midwest
thing. It might be a Midwest thing.
I don't know. Man, did I love going to Montgomery Ward's. That's where I got all the tires for my car. I got TVs there. I got everything at Montgomery Ward's. No, there was a Montgomery Ward's here. It was at Fair Oaks Mall.
I didn't move into this area until 20 years ago. How am I supposed to know? It's definitely not down south.
Definitely was here when I lived here.
I know, but I... Really?
Definitely. Because the candles that I have in my windows, I got when they closed Montgomery Ward.
Okay.
I mean, it is kind of lowbrow. Maybe that's why you didn't. Anyway. The company traditionally bought and distributed coloring books to lure children into its stores, but in 1939, they decided to save money by producing something in-house. Company execs turned to Robert May to write an original children's book. He created a rhyming tale about an outcast reindeer with a shiny nose that instantly became a hit. It paid off for Montgomery Ward. They gave out 2.4 million copies of the book, and Rudolph's storybook was then revived again in 1946 when Montgomery Ward, seven years later, Montgomery Ward handed out an additional 3.6 million copies. And in 1949, May's brother-in-law wrote a song helping Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, go down in his story. Yeah, that song. Marketers.
Anyway, well done. Sales and marketing.
By the way, that was not the end.
Uh-huh. The 1964 claymation movie that we all love was paid for by GE. The electronics company liked the idea of Rudolph having a light bulb-esque nose, saving the day, to help sell more light bulbs.
Hmm.
'Tis the season.
Very commercial.
Very much so. No wonder the Puritans were like, no Christmas for you and your marketing ways. Anyway, so what do you think of those? Pretty cool, huh?
I think that apparently Christmas is all made up.
Yes. It is. It is.
Yeah, it's working. It's like Valentine's
Day. It totally works. You should see my tree.
At least all the extra stuff, not Christmas, the religious like connotation behind it, all the extra stuff.
All these sentences.
It's very made up.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay because the influencers influence.
But it's okay. Still can take a lot of business lessons out of it. I'll just get some ideas.
Oh my gosh. There's this one. Anyway, no. I'm not going to talk about it right now.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about it right now because it's going to be an episode and I will talk about this off air.
Okay then.
Okay. So just look forward to a really great episode next season along with the others. Okay. So since Christmas time, you need to have some time to unwind. A lot of times people take January as when they're going to take their company to the next step or stage or whatever it may be.
Yes.
So I have some recommendations for books, some apps, and software platforms, what have you. We also have links to those. Those will all also be linked into the show. I really highly recommend that you take a look at all of these because these are some great articles with some great information. Some of them I'm actually going to try out myself because I hadn't heard of some of these that I was like, ooh, I want to see what does that do. So here's four books. This article will go in more depth than I am. I'm just going to tell you what the names of these books are.
Okay.
What you got? So there's Poor Charlie's Almanac, The Essential Wit and Wisdom of Charles T. Munger, Possible, How We Survive and Thrive in the Age of Conflict.
Okay.
Strategic, The Skill to Set Direction, Create Advantage, and Achieve Executive Excellence. And Career Forward Strategies for Women Who've Made It. And these articles are from Inc.com. And they do go into more depth about what the book is about and a little bit more about why they chose those books as the IT books for 2024.
Wow.
Okay. So off of getjobber.com, I found small business applications that you should be using in 2024. There are operations management apps. There's so many apps that I'm not even going to name them off. I'm just going to tell you what they focus on.
Okay.
So there's client relationship, CRM apps, accounting and bookkeeping apps that aren't QuickBooks, scheduling apps, invoicing apps, payment processing, payroll, project managing, and marketing.
So all the apps to support the business behind the
books. Yes, exactly. So if you're struggling with trying to find the right app or platform or software for your company, take a look at these and see if any of them inspire you.
Or if you're looking to put a little more automation in 2024, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're doing some stuff still manual, there probably is a tech solution for it. And, you know, beginning of the year is a good time to start implementing something kind of new.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so moving on to the best business software for 2024, this link is from Wix. And of course, Wix is the first on the list.
Oh, that's not self-serving at all.
At all. Anyway, but I thought it had some really good ones too. Like it has Trello and Asana. What they think are the best software for you to use for your business to take it to the next level. Stripe and Wave, Salesforce, MailChimp. It goes into more detail about why they chose those. But they're really great articles. And like I said, definitely read these articles because they will help you plan for not just your next year, but at least for your first quarter.
Okay. Well, the only one thing I would add to that is it's something that I kind of came across recently. I'm like a fan of You've heard those the book Story Brand, right?
How to? Yeah. Yep. I have.
I can't remember what it's called. How to Story Brand Your Business, or I don't remember what the actual title of it is. Something Story Brand. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's by Donald Miller. So Donald Miller this year, maybe last year, had a book that's literally called How to Grow Your Small Business. Hmm. And so I started reading that because I love the fact that anybody who can break down complicated information into simplified ways, and certainly growing your business is that way, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Show me more. So yeah, I read it and it's great. So if you want something that it's a quick read, by the way, it's a tiny little book, which mm-hmm. is amazing. And it breaks down your business into six different functions, like six different areas for you to focus on, and it shows you how all of those are interrelated. Mm. And it shows you where to focus on what. And again, like I said, it's a quick read, and I think it's a nicely packaged way for you to think about how you want to grow your small business. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great read for somebody going into 2024. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, I feel like you always got to refresh the basics, even if some of the stuff you feel like it's basic. But again, he explains it in a pretty novel way, which is good to read. Mm-hmm. But you know, foundations of business doesn't change. So a lot of times you grow the business, you probably overcomplicate it in your mind, mm-hmm. and you just have to go back to the basics and remember the fundamentals. And I just finished the book. I like it a lot. So again, Donald Miller, how to grow a small business.
Yeah. Just link it on the.
Yeah, I will. I will link it.
So that others can get it as well. All right. So please show us your support by following us on your preferred podcast platform, social media, and YouTube. We'd love for you to also share our episodes. I'm so excited for season 4. I cannot believe I just said season 4.
Well, you know, these platforms, the way they work is the more you engage by sharing, liking, you know, all those things, like that's how they continue to promote our platform, like our podcast, yep. right? That's how they get the, you know, the automation to figure out, oh, people actually like this podcast. We should help it grow more. So of course, if you can coerce the friend sitting next to you to tap that 5 stars, be great. Thank you. Yes. Thumbs up.
Yes. Until next time, mind the business behind your small business.
See you in a new year.
Yay. All great businesses start.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.